So, hello everybody. Since this is the first time that I've ever given a talk here, I just want to say that I consider it a real honor and a privilege to have this opportunity. I thought I would take this first talk to do some introducing of myself and give you some background about my spiritual journey and how I have come to the practice of reflective meditation. So my title is Finding a Spiritual Path. My first exposure to spiritual practice was my upbringing in the Catholic Church. An early memory I have was bringing my catechism book home from school to do my homework for religion class, which was to memorize word for word prescribed Catholic answers to questions such as who is God, or what is a sin. This was typical of Catholic religious education in the 1950s. So, if you want to know the correct answers to those questions, or maybe translate a few words from Latin, you now know who to come to. But catechism wasn't the only part of the whole of my Catholic experience. I was actually also part of a large and supportive community at my parish church and in my Catholic grammar school and high school. Love, generosity, and service to others were taught and encouraged. This provided me with a sense of security and a system of values that I still try to follow today. However, as I progressed through high school, I started to question many of the beliefs that I was taught. The prayers and rituals seemed less and less relevant to my teenage life and problems. When I was a senior in high school, unbeknownst to my parents, I stopped attending Mass on Sunday. I was a newly licensed driver at the time, so I would ask to borrow my parents' car to, quote, go to church. But instead, I drove around San Francisco, exploring different areas of the city. I succeeded in keeping these adventures secret for a while, until the whole house of cards came tumbling down. My father got home early from work one evening and found me in the kitchen eating meat on a Friday. He was very upset, and we argued as I tried to explain my changing views. The next day, though, he came into my room and apologized, saying he did not believe that religion could be forced on anyone, and he would not try to force me to follow a particular path. For years after that incident, I attended several different Christian denominations searching for a spiritual home. I finally found my way to Buddhism and meditation through my partner, Elizabeth, who's also a member of this Sangha. We initially met at a social gathering of local psychotherapists. At some point over a first lunch together, she started describing to me some details about her study and practice of Tibetan Buddhism. My initial reaction, which of course I kept to myself, was Tibetan Buddhism. No, I want to know about you. Well, though Buddhism was not on my radar at the time, Elizabeth was. So I listened and quickly became interested. Not long after that lunch, I went with her to my first retreat and then joined the Sangha that she belonged to, which became a central part of my life for the next 10 years. Then in 2008, we were so fortunate to be able to go on a trip to India with the Buddhist teacher Stephen Batchelor. Our group visited the historical sites where the Buddha lived and taught. While listening to Stephen's talks, I was surprised to be introduced to a whole rich body of early Buddhist teachings, which, because of my Tibetan background, I was barely aware of. So when we got back from India, we decided to branch out and explore teachings and practices outside of Tibetan Buddhism. One teacher we had heard of was Jason Siff, and at a retreat, we were introduced by him to the practice of recollective awareness. I love this approach to meditation, and following it since then has led me to become a part of Sati Sangha with Linda, and now this daily online meditation group with Linda and Nellie and all of us. So that's my quickie version of my trip here. But remembering this history and writing this talk has caused me to contemplate the kinds of questions that I'm sure we all have considered and do consider at various times. What am I doing here? What am I looking for? What has motivated me toward particular spiritual views and practices and away from others? How do I hope to benefit from these activities? In my Catholic school years, my answer to this last question would surely have been that all-important final benefit, going to heaven. This was what I was taught and what I accepted as the goal of spiritual practice. But as an adult, and even as a teenager, my interest in practice has always been pretty much focused on the here and now. How can I make the most out of my current life and out of this day? How can I skillfully handle things that are hard to bear in my life? And as a partner, a family member, a friend, a psychotherapist, and just another human being living and interacting in the world, how can I help others connect to greater flourishing in their lives? A passage from Linda and Nellie's book describes meditation practice in a way that I find very meaningful. This is their quote. "You can read inspiring books, hear about amazing personal journeys, quote famous school spiritual teachers, but you may not know them from the inside out. It takes practice and becomes a practice to listen to your experience and learn how to integrate these principles and teachings." Page 27. As someone who began life on a spiritual path, which directed me primarily toward external authorities and future rewards, knowing things from the inside out and considering my inner life as a trusted resource has been a real paradigm shift for me. Even my field of psychotherapy communicates mixed messages in this regard. Are difficult internal emotions and experiences things to be explored, understood with love and compassion? Or are they just producing mental health symptoms and problems to be eliminated as quickly as possible? I certainly never intend to give up seeking wisdom from outside of myself. But I now think of the integration of outside and inside as a type of balanced ecology and a way of applying the Buddhist teachings of the middle way to my own life and meditation. Another touchstone for me is the Buddha's response when he was asked philosophical or esoteric questions about the meaning of life. He declined to answer, saying these issues weren't relevant to what he was teaching. So what was he teaching? He was asked. In the sutra, he responds, "I teach about suffering and the relief of suffering." So I know I'm not the originator of this idea, but I do very much like to think of the Buddha as a fellow psychologist, someone with wisdom and depth that I don't ever expect to fully experience, but who devoted his life to healing himself and others, and who was a most astute guide through the joys and sorrows of, as the Tibetans often say, our one precious human life. That's my talk. I guess I'm now